Job 14, verse number 1. Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. And everybody says, Amen. We're going to pray and you can be seated. I told you to make it easy on you. Precious Lord and Savior, what a great and awesome God you are today and every other day. We stand today thanking you for being holy. We stand today thanking you for being our God. And we ask you today that you will fill this place with your presence like never before as we start into the message that you've given us for today. I ask you, God, that you'll take me right now and God, that you will fill me up and over and then some with what you want said and done. Hide me behind the cross that they will see only you. God, I need your touch today. And I need your help today, God, to be able to deliver what you've laid on my heart. I ask you, God, that everyone in here right now will open their hearts and their minds up and they'll give the Holy Ghost free control to move on them right now and to work on them. God, it will be vain if we leave out of here today having not met with you. And Lord, I ask you right now that you will get all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. For we ask this in the presence of precious, precious, holy name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. You see the title on the board. I mean, it's easy to see that. And the first thing everybody starts thinking of is the storms that's been going on and what we've been going through. We're still hearing tales from different people about how they've reacted to the different storms. One of the bosses at work came through the other day and was talking with some of the guys and told him about how the tornadoes come through his area recently, and he and his family was under their house holding on to one of the pillars under the house as a tornado came through about 100 yards from his house and how it leveled things next to him. I remember as a child, and remember I grew up in rural Alabama, so we do things a little differently, so don't laugh. But we had a storm coming toward our school, so they made all of us go out into the hallway, put a book over your head, and hide down. But it was always kind of weird because we had to turn around and put our heads toward the locker, and we were all thinking, you know, the first thing that's going to fall on every one of us is the lockers. You know, it's a block building, but the way these things were put together, and it was old when I got there. So we're doing this, and then afterwards, when we're getting on the bus to leave, our bus driver starts telling us about what really happened. She said all the bus drivers decided it wasn't no big storm, they wasn't worried about things, and they stood there at the front of the school, as all the rest of us are inside there with our heads covered and hidden, and they watched the tornado jump the school and over the church where I grew up at and land on the other side and take off again, leveling everything in sight, but they watched it jump over. A few years later, we were in Huntsville at the Space and Rocket Center, and we were there for a field trip, and all of a sudden, they come over the system saying, there's bad weather coming, you may want to clear out. And we get in the bus and we leave, and on the way home, we find out that there's a tornado just came through Huntsville and wiped half the place out. And just a year ago, we were in our laundry room. We put everything up in there. We had stuff set up in there for me and Whitney and the kids, and we're in there, and they're playing their games, and we're trying to keep them calm. And we hear the storm come through. And we think everything's clear. And me and Whitney, we walk out on the front porch only to see the tornado that came through Ringgold. We watched it from our front porch. Every one of us that are here today, we have a storm story that we can tell. Every one of us have a storm story that we can tell about something that happened as a child that we experienced. But today, we want to look at different types of storms than the physical storm that you see like that. You see, if you take Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and you look at those three Gospels, you'll find the same storm from three different perspectives. The first two, they give us an overview that we'll look at today of how the storms rattled and shook them physically. And the third one takes us a dive deeper emotionally and spiritually, how storms affect us. Because every one of us, no matter who you are, how important you are, where you grew up, we have storms. One wise man said one time, you have just come out of a storm, going into a storm or in the middle of a storm. Every one of us experience storms every single day. I counseled with someone recently that just got saved, and they came to me and they said, "I don't understand what's going on." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I just got saved and my whole world's falling apart. And it seems like I'm experiencing things that I never have before." Storms. Take your Bibles. And we're going to go to all three of those. And we're going to look at the storms, but we're going to start off and we're going to move to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, we find the first perspective we'll look at today in Luke chapter 8, verse number 22. We find a panicked perspective. A panicked perspective on the storm. I know of some people and have been around some people, one of them who's not in here right now, who is mortified of being around a storm. They will leave where they're at if they hear a storm's coming, and they will run home quickly if they hear of a storm. But we find here in verse number 22, now remember, this is a physician. Luke was a physician. So when he writes it, he writes and he puts things in there from a physician's perspective and how he looks at things. But in verse 22, we find, "Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples. And he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake. And they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awake him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Notice the words that they used. Notice the wording. We find it as he fell asleep. We find they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And then we see where they said, "Master, Master, we perish." We've been looking at storms for the last couple of weeks. Kind of took a deviation from our normal stuff that we were teaching going through the series Radical. And we've been looking at storms because of the things that some of our guys have been going through. And as I read into this, Brother Tommy, I was drawn into some of these words. And let's look at just a couple of them real quick. Filled. He says they were filled with water. Filled has the meaning behind it of all the way up and complete. It has the connotation of, and not just a little, but more than they could handle. The boat didn't just have a little bit of water in it. It was filled slap up. This storm that came up, it didn't just barely put a little water in. It filled it completely. Here they are, and you got to remember who we're talking about, the 12 disciples here. And some of them were seasoned fishermen who had probably, no doubt, had been on this lake before and had fished this lake before and knew what it was. Go home and check your geography, and if I'm wrong, come back to me. But if I remember right, this lake is in a valley. And it's surrounded by high mountains. And from what I've studied, they say that it's nothing uncommon for all of a sudden a wind to start coming down the side of the mountain. And when it hits that lake, it just shakes everything up. And storms just pop up. And storms just happen. These men had been around this before. This wasn't something that should have caught them off guard or scared them. But this storm was more than they had ever experienced. It was something they were afraid of. It filled the boat. It took over. It overran it. Look at the next word we find here. We looked at filled, but we also need to look right after that. And it says, and were in jeopardy. In jeopardy. Now, when we think of the name Jeopardy, we automatically think of the game show, right? But for them to use the word jeopardy, it had a stronger meaning than anything we could remember. Jeopardy means peril or danger, not just a little threat. A danger. They were in jeopardy. They were afraid for their very lives. And they panicked. And they panicked. The winds and the waves are taking over the ship, and the water is filling up the ship. And they're panicked because they're afraid they're going to die at any moment, even though the master's on board. They panicked. And the last thing he told them that we have written is, we're going to the other side. We're not going halfway and stopping. We're going all the way to the other side. And here comes this physical storm, and it has shook their very existence. The same God who they've seen raise people from the dead, feed the multitudes, heal the sick, said, we're going to the other side, and all of a sudden their whole world is torn, slap apart, and they panicked because of a physical storm that is shaking them up. Hang with me. Because he goes from there, from saying that they're in jeopardy, to them coming to Jesus and crying and saying, Master, Master, we perish. And the word perish here has the definition behind it. It says to suffer death, typically in a violent, sudden, or untimely way. Suffering complete ruin or destruction. They said, we're about to die here. Completely and totally and utter ruin. We're about to go. They panicked in the midst of this storm as it rocked them to and fro. How easy is it for us to panic when we get in a storm? Things around us begin to shake us and begin to rock us a little bit, but instead of holding on and seeing what the Master's doing and remembering His last words to us, we start panicking. We start bailing out. We start giving up. And we're afraid. Child of God, one of His most precious words to you and to me is, we're going to the other side. He didn't say, once I saved you, I'm just going to take you partway. He didn't say, once I saved you, I'm going to leave you alone. He said, I'm taking you to the other side. I'm going all the way. But we panic when a storm comes and it shakes us and it rocks us, and we see the physical things that's going on around, and we let the physical things that's going on around make us panic and make us afraid. And we miss it. We miss it. Not only do we see the panicked, but we also in Mark chapter 4, they'll put it on the screens, but if you want to turn with me, go with me. Once again, don't take me at my word. Look and see what God's word says, because it will be more sure than I could ever promise. Mark chapter number 4, verse 35. We go from a panicked perspective to a perplexed. Now, Mark and his brother John had the nickname of what? The Sons of Thunder. The Sons of Thunder. They were known for being a little out front. Mark is also called John Mark. I believe he was also known as John the Beloved. I believe he was also one of them later on that was known for putting his head upon Jesus' breast. He was close to Jesus. But we see the storm here in Mark chapter 4, verse number 35. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, just like we talked about, how it would just suddenly come down in that valley. And the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? We see a panic perspective because he didn't understand. He was looking at the storm and seeing what was going on. And then he looked and he saw the master asleep in the back of the boat. And he didn't understand. He was perplexed because there was something going on inside his heart and mind saying, this isn't right. We're fighting this storm and we're fighting this battle, but it doesn't look like it is messing or stirring him, and I don't understand. Once again, look at the words. Look at the words we find here. And he says, there arose a great storm of wind. Not just a little one. Not just some little small insignificant thing. A great storm of wind. And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. You've seen it. You've watched it in movies where the storm is rocking the ship to and fro, and you see the waves come over and the sailors are holding on to anything they can to keep them from getting washed off. He said it was a great storm and the waves were beating upon them and they were getting knocked down and they were getting slung around and they couldn't hold themselves up, and he's looking back and he's asleep and he's perplexed and he's saying, I don't understand this. Why is this happening? What's going on here? And the physical storm is beating him violently and shaking him around. And he said, the ship is now full. Same as we talked about just a second ago. Full of water to the brim. And it's still coming at him. And then they run to him. And they say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Instead of running to him like we saw in Luke and said, Master, we perish, he runs to him and he says, Jesus, don't you care? I can't take any more of this. I'm being beat up one side and down the other. The storm is rocking me all over the place. Don't you care? Don't you understand that I can't handle this? It is physically beating me apart. And I can just see Mark with the nickname Robbie, like Sons of Thunder. I see him being a dramatic person. In my mind, I see him and his brother being dramatic people. I don't see them as being your calm, laid back, you know, easygoing person. I see him as being somebody who, when he tells a tale, he's in it. And he's sitting there and he's telling this maybe later to some of them. And he said, man, this ship is just, I mean, it's getting knocked all over the place. And the winds are hitting us and it knocks me down and it slings me up against the side. And I get up and it knocks me down again. And every time I look back, he's still asleep. And he's resting. And I don't get it. I absolutely don't get it. So we just go back there and ask him. We fight our way to the back of the ship as this storm's knocking us back and forth. And we're saying, don't you care? Master, don't you care that it's beating us up? Don't you care that I can't stand up anymore? He's perplexed. He is puzzled. He is ripping apart because he doesn't understand why Jesus is sitting up doing something. How can he rest at a time like this? Those storms come through recently. The storms came through the other night. Several of you in here, some of the people that I work with, your vehicles were damaged with hail. Your homes were tore up. One of the guys at work, when the storm came through, the hail beat down one part of his window. When the winds came through, it blew the windows in his house. And he said they were afraid and didn't know what to do for a while. They were shook up and they didn't know what to do. We see a panic perspective where someone is just panicked and he's running around and he says, Master, we're perishing. We're dying. We're going to go under. And then we see a perplexed perspective where he's sitting there and he's looking and he's saying, I don't understand. How come you don't care what's going on? Go to Matthew. Go to Matthew. Now remember the first two perspectives, they give us the story and we see more of the physical side of it. But Matthew, in Matthew, we find something a little different. In Matthew chapter 8, Matthew was a tax collector by trade. Matthew was someone who saw the numbers, who counted the numbers, who looked at things specifically. In Matthew chapter 8, he takes us into the physical, past the physical and further into the emotional and the spiritual part of the storm, and gives us something a little deeper, because we've went from panicked to perplexed and now we're at the point where we're powerless. We have the powerless perspective. Matthew chapter 8 verse 23. Verse 23, and when he entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awake him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the seas obey him? He's carried us to a place where they've realized that they're powerless. To begin with, we saw the first two, and they're fighting the storm with everything that they can, and they've let the sails down, and they've brought this in, and they've thrown this overboard, and they've done everything they can to fight the storm physically, and now they've realized that they can't do it no more. And they realized that they're powerless. If you look up the word tempest, you will see that tempest carries a little different meaning than we look at. Tempest has the meaning of a violent windstorm, frequently accompanied by rain, snow, or hail. Furious agitation, commotion, and uproar. He took the storm and exactly what they said, and he said, this is a violent uproar. And he said, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. If you look up the word covered, that means completely and totally. To place something over or inside of. To cover it completely. He's saying, I've realized that it's not just full. From his perspective, he said, this ship is covered. I can't see anything but the storm. I can't see anything but the waves and the wind. It is completely covered over. And the storm that you and I face, we have to get to the place sometimes Then God allows us to get to the place where we can't see anything but the storm we're in. And it covers us over, and we see no way out. We don't even remember sometimes how we got into the storm, much less how in the world will we get out. Friends betray us. Co-workers hurt us. Family members let us down. Tragedy. Our family went through one last fall. Several of you know about it, when Whitney's father was killed. And you're talking about a storm. You're going through there and everything's good, and we had a good day at church and just got home. And at 10 o'clock at night, we get a storm dumped in our lap as she gets the call that her dad was in a wreck. Try as you may, but we don't know if you can make it in time before he goes. She jumped in that ship and she took off to Missouri to see if she could get there before he passed away. And that ship was in that storm, and you couldn't see anything else but it. And I'm home with the kids, and that storm has covered our family at this very moment. And we couldn't see anything but that storm. And that storm had caused an uproar around us that we didn't see coming. And we didn't see a way out. We couldn't be panicked, because there's nothing we could do. Physically, there was nothing we could do. Perplexed, yeah, we were a little perplexed as what in the world just happened. What's going on? But completely and totally powerless. Completely and totally powerless. Our only option was to go to Him. The first two that we talked about, they called Him Master or Teacher, Rabbi. But when we get to Matthew, Matthew goes to Him and he says, Lord. He realized who had the power. Who realized who had the ability and the authority. And he said, Lord. Lord. I can just see him now as he runs to him, and he's realized that this storm has completely covered this ship and they have no way to turn. And he looks to him and he says, Lord, save us. I can't do anything, God. I can't get out of this myself. I can't go any further. Save us. We're going to die. We're stuck. We have no hope but you. And the storm has shook them apart and has went from the physical to the spiritual and the emotional, the deeper part, and has rocked their whole entire world. Everything that they've known in their entire life, and their entire life is covered right now with this storm that is over the top of them and has them powerless. Storms come into every one of our lives. And the good thing is, the Bible promises that storms will pass. But God allows storms for different reasons. Because we've got to get past the panic look. We've got to get past the perplexed until we get to the point where we realize we're powerless and we can't do it, but He can. I couldn't help her that night. I'm home. The kids are in bed. I couldn't go with her at that moment. Powerless. I had to let her go do this. Powerless, she drove by herself. But He can. I called her and I constantly stayed on the phone with her. And I talked to her until the weather got bad and she'd have to let me go or something. And then I'd call her back. And tears running down her face. You can hear it over the phone, but you can hear a peace in her voice as God Himself jumped in that car and took that ship to the other side and carried her where she was going. I guarantee you, if you ask her after service, she couldn't tell you half the exits along the way. She couldn't tell you what the road looked like because she wasn't driving. She was just in the ship with the Lord, the Savior, and He carried her down the road. We have to get to the place where we realize that we're powerless because He's going to let these storms come because there's different reasons for why storms happen. Sometimes they happen so that other people around you will see what you're made of and see what's inside of you. Sometimes they'll happen because there's something inside of you that He wants to get out of you. Maybe friendships that are bad. Maybe relationships that are wrong and He lets you go through a storm to shake that up a little bit. Had a guy growing up that was a couple years younger than me. His parents owned a trucking company there where I grew up in Sneed, Alabama. But for everybody around there, they were wealthy. I mean, they had money. They had a big, fine home. And Timmy drove a brand new Dodge 3/4 ton lifted on big tires. I mean, he had it. And he had friends everywhere. And everywhere he went, he bought them this or he bought them that or he bought their meals every time they were together. And you thought the man had everything going on until the storm hit. Until the storm hit and his dad almost lost the business. The economy dropped off and the next thing you know, they're selling their big home and getting a smaller one. They're selling this, they're selling that. And 99% of his friends left him because he couldn't pay for them anymore. Sometimes storms come because there's things inside of us that we have kept bottled up for years and we didn't want to deal with and we've hidden and we've masked and we've covered and we've backed away every time God's tried to deal with them and we've tried to hide and He says no more. I'm going to let you go through this storm because I'm going to shake you up because I want to get it out of you. Watch this. I'll probably pay for this later, but DJ, you just thought I was getting water for me to drink. What's inside here? What happens when it's setting like this? It stays in. Nothing happens to it. It doesn't go anywhere. It's not being rocked. Everything's calm and peaceful. But let a little vibration come and the water starts shaking a little bit. Let a little storm come and it's okay. But when you start having a great tempest come, what happens? What happens? What happens to what's inside there? It starts coming out and it starts going everywhere and everyone around starts seeing what's happening. But what's inside is brought out. What's deep down inside, because the water was up to here, now it's to here. It's outside of there. And it's got on to places that it wasn't normally going. And it wasn't anything the water did. The glass, the container didn't do anything. It was not in its power of this glass to get that water out on its own. But when a hand bigger than it decides it's time to shake it up a little bit and let's see what we can get out of there because there's some stuff in there I don't want, it comes out. We are powerless in these storms. But God allows them because He wants to get something out. Whether it's so that the people around you will see the water He put in you, or whether there's some impurities inside there that He wants out so He can put more of Him in. I asked DJ to get me this water and he went up there and I didn't know Kyle already had it taken care of. But DJ said, I don't know how long that's been in there, but what's in the jug's good. It's fresh. Hang with me. Now there's room for fresh water. Now there's room for good water to be put in to take its place. Now there's room for God to fill it up. And it wasn't there before. Three perspectives. We get panicked when a storm comes and we try to do everything that we can physically to take care of it. And then we get perplexed because we don't understand why God would let us go through a storm. And we start crying out saying, God, I didn't do anything to deserve this. Why am I going through this? Because He wants us to get to the point where we're powerless, where He can get out what He wants out and put in what He wants in. Let's pray. Our gracious Lord and Savior, we love You. And we're thankful, God, even though they scare us to death, we're thankful for the storms. Because, God, it's during those storms that we realize who You are and how great You are. Oh, God, I ask You right now, Lord, as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, that we would take a look at the storm we're going through right now. And, God, we would let You take control. With heads bowed and eyes are closed, please, everybody stand. Nobody's looking around. These men are waiting at the altar. You're going through a storm and you need somebody to pray with you. Or you just need to come to the altar and say, God, I'm powerless. Please come. There's one. Anybody else? Just come on. I'm going through a storm and I need help. I'm powerless. Oh, I'm powerless. Please, oh God, help me. Please help me. God, I need You like never. Like never before. God, I love You. God, I need You. I'm going through a storm and I can't do it. Oh God, please help. And you're at your seat right now and God's saying, I just need You to take that one step so that you're admitting to yourself that you can't do it. But He can. And that storm's tearing me apart. Oh God, help me. God, help me.